And welcome to In-Game Chat for Saturday, January 14th, 2017, Season 11, Episode 2. I'm Scott.
I'm RJ.
And I'm Matt.
And welcome to the show, everybody. If you'd like to get in touch with us, our phone number is 334-272-9228. 334-272-9228. Check out ingamechat.net for all the links to get in touch with us. You can find us on Twitter at In-Game Chat. You can find us on Facebook, same place. You can email us. Everyone at ingamechat.net. We haven't got an email in a long time.
No, we haven't.
No. We need to get some emails. Start maybe, writing us, folks.
Yeah, a listener should change that.
Yeah, write to us. Everyone at ingamechat.net. We're streaming on Twitch. Head over to twitch.tv. It's not twitch.com. It's twitch.tv. There's a search bar up at the top of the page. Type in in-game chat, and you'll be able to find us. And watch us live while we broadcast. You'll also be able to join the chat room where folks are in there now having conversations and talking. Plenty to talk about, by the way.
Yeah.
Nothing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know what you were going to say something
snarky. And
yeah. Which is, you know, whatever. That's video game world snarky.
Yeah. I try not to be.
Well, there's no, I mean, there, you can.
It's just, I'm just.
You can be honest with your opinion
yeah.
without having to throw snark into it because it's a legitimate, I mean, your opinion.
New Year's resolutions, right?
Yeah, well, yeah, we're 2 weeks in, it's done. but yeah, so Nintendo Switch. Yeah, buddy.
All right, honest opinion, I haven't been excited or really enjoyed a Nintendo system since the GameCube. I think that was their last good system.
That was the last hurrah for that thing, yeah. For Nintendo?
Because after that, it was just all gimmicky.
And I don't necessarily know that I remember the, like, press conference or presentation or whatever for the GameCube. I don't remember
It was
that.
Just like, yep, there it is.
I don't remember. I yeah. do not remember a thing about it. I probably
square,
would.
It's square, it's purple,
I know,
it's
I probably
out.
Would if I went back and watched it. I would probably be like, oh, yeah, I remember when they did this and that. But I really honestly do not remember how they unveiled that and how that whole thing went. It was way before I started going to these...
Yeah, pressers.
To the press conferences and stuff at E3 out in LA. It was way before I ever started doing that. So I wasn't there for the Wii reveal either, I don't believe. Yeah, pretty sure I wasn't there for the Wii reveal either. I do remember watching the Wii reveal.
Yeah.
But, and I remember watching the Wii U presentation. Also, it's March release for console is really weird.
Yeah. At least they dropped the Wii name.
Yeah, okay.
Because I think that's one of the main things that hurt the Wii U.
The Wii U, yeah.
Is continuing the Wii name, you know.
I'm not so sure that wasn't a tough decision for them to make.
Yeah.
I bet they wanted to continue that Wii line.
Because they did sell a lot of Wiis.
I know.
And a lot of Wii Fitness. And
because there's something about this that seems very Wii-ish.
Yeah.
You know? It still seems like it's in the Wii family. It seems like it's another evolution.
Of
we went from
that
Wii.
Gimmick.
Yeah. To Wii U. And now we're at the Wii Switch.
Yeah.
And that seems, because it still seems very much. By the way, if anybody doesn't know what we're talking about, give a proper explanation of the situation here. Nintendo announced last year sometime, I think it was September of last year, they announced a new console that they were going to release called the Nintendo Switch. We really didn't know. We had about a minute and a half video of the thing, and that's really all we knew.
I remember it showed the Skyrim, you know, like a little thing of Skyrim on it, and the portability and
right that it's portable.
A lot of questions.
And the controllers attached to the screen when you do the when you're making it portable, and then they fit into a controller housing, or they can be used as controllers, that sort of thing. So we just really didn't have a lot of information, so we've been speculating. But they had said that we'll do a reveal on January the 13th, which was actually January the 13th for Japan,
yeah,
January 12th for us.
Yeah. I'd just gotten off of work, so I missed part of it. But
I was just about to go to bed, and then I was like, oh, this thing starts in 5 minutes?
Okay.
I'll watch a little bit of it.
And
First off, as much as I'm going to criticize the Nintendo Switch itself,
I'm glad they did give information out.
I will hand it to Nintendo for doing a hell of a press conference.
Yeah, it was
there was no applauding. There was no wooing. There was no... It was like, here's this thing. You saw the video. Moving on to the next thing. Here's this thing. There was no Q&A.
Yeah.
There was no walking around and... there was video of some cringeworthy moments. But
yeah, there
weren't
was
any like, live cringeworthy moments as far as... Yeah. Somebody playing a game they absolutely knew nothing about.
Yeah.
Whenever they put people in
those
positions.
When they got Miyamoto out and, you know, for introducing the Zelda, you know, that was a little like, just.
Oh, that whole thing with Reggie was ridiculous.
Yeah. All right. So like I said, I want to preface, I am not really excited about it. But at the same point, you know, hey, it's a new system.
Excuse me.
And it's more information than we had before, which is always cool.
Yeah, I think this is all the information that we need.
Yeah.
I mean, let me tell you, all the information I need to make an informed decision on whether I'm going to buy this or not mm-hmm. was given to me at that press conference.
I agree.
And I have decided to not buy this thing.
yeah, I agree.
Which is fine. it's okay. There we get, you know, whenever new consoles roll around, we get calls. Which one should I get? Which one's better? And we always give the same answer every
which
single time.
Which games are on the system?
Find out what system has the games you want to play and buy that system. That is exactly how we go each and every time. If there was a system, and honestly, it would have to be a significant difference in appearance as to what it could do. In other words, if the Scorpio was already out mm-hmm. and we were still, you know, if it was PS3 versus the Scorpio, I would say, okay, which one do you want? Do you want something that looks better? Then you want to go Scorpio. I would say that. But for the most part, these things are on par with each other. They're fine.
Yeah.
So that's why we always say, go after the games. And really, Nintendo doesn't have a competition out there unless you... I mean, if you call in and ask, should I go Nintendo, PS4, or Xbox One, then I will probably push you in the direction of the other two consoles rather than Nintendo, depending on what you want
to
play.
They seem to compete more against each other, where Nintendo just does its own thing.
Sony and Microsoft do the competitions between themselves. Nintendo does its own thing. Didn't always used to be that way, but ever since the Wii, it's pretty much gone in that direction and is even more so gone in that direction once the Wii U was announced, and now even more so with the Switch.
I don't know. That's a...
What?
Tough one for me to, you know.
What is?
You know, how, because I kind of feel like the GameCube wasn't necessarily in competition, so to speak, with the Xbox and the PlayStation. Xbox and PlayStation.
Yeah.
Because when I look at the games that are on the systems, I tend to think
Xbox
of...
Xbox and PlayStation 2.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, PlayStation 2
at that time.
So, yeah, when I think of that, I tend to think of which games are sort of cross-platformed,
mm-hmm.
and that, you know, and so the GameCube kind of didn't really do as much with the same cross-platforming as
this is
the
true.
Other two.
But at the time, Nintendo still had a nice...
I mean, the last time they really did that was the Super NES, I think.
Nintendo still had a nice grip on third-party developers, which is something that they've lost over time, only for the fact that the sales of their consoles keep going down.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Wii was a big, huge hit, and it sold massively, but then, like, it had a really good peak. It peaked really, I don't know, I want to say soon, but I guess in the lifespan of the console, probably did. It peaked, obviously, in the first year, towards the end of the first year that it was out, and... then it didn't really take a nosedive, but it really just settled back into this thing where it wasn't the moneymaker that it was. Nintendo was fine, by the way, because their 3DS was making them money hand over fist.
Yeah.
So they were fine. It wasn't a problem. And then the Wii U released, and that also had disappointing sale numbers. But I will give you every bit of the credit. Wii U had some fantastic games. Really, still does have some great games.
Yeah.
Bayonetta 2, you know, as I look over to RJ, who that's a thorn in his side for not being released on other consoles. It had Mario Kart 8. It had a lot of their main franchise stuff. I'll leave Bayonetta out of it, but Zelda, Mario, all those franchise players that they've got in their first party. But the third party you saw very little of with Wii U. The third party just wasn't there. And, you know, now this is what they rely on. They have to rely on first-party development.
Uh-huh.
And I think they're doing a good job with that in Splatoon.
Always with Mario.
Mario and Zelda.
Well, we didn't... Did we get a Zelda?
The hell they're doing... Huh?
Wait, no, yeah, we got a Zelda on the Wii U, didn't we?
No.
Well, the Hyrule Warriors.
That's a fighter. That's a brawler.
Yeah. But like a proper Zelda?
We didn't get a proper Zelda.
I didn't, yeah.
We got a Wind Waker remaster and we got a Twilight Princess remaster.
Yeah. So.
Let me take that back. This Zelda that's getting released is coming on the Wii U.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, so they're doing like they did with Twilight Princess?
Yeah, yeah.
With the GameCube and the Wii.
Yeah, there is a Wii U version of Breath of the Wild. So.
And yet, still, we don't have a Metroid.
I was going to say, what are they doing with Metroid franchise? They haven't touched that
thing
in a while.
They put it in Smash Bros. That's what they do.
Yeah. So, anyway, going back to this whole thing is that you have to ask yourself when a new console releases, are the games there? And I can tell you right now, at launch, these games are not there.
No.
I think they've got like four games at launch.
Yeah, obviously Zelda is always going to be one of my favorites.
Zelda's launch. Now that's
good
for them. I do want
to play it eventually.
That's the big one for them.
But, you know, when I look at the other stuff that they announced, I mean, a little curious about, you know, New York Mario, but two games isn't really enough right now for me to buy a system. So I don't know. I kind of miss the days when they had a really good library, and they had, you know. I
go back to my game.
I miss the GameCube.
You had a game. Did you have a GameCube?
Oh, yeah, I still have it.
How many games did you have for the GameCube?
A lot.
I didn't have very many.
Oh, well, man, between, okay. like all the Resident Evils.
Let me back that up.
Yeah.
I had a lot, but they were a lot of first-party titles. Mm-hmm. I had the Resident Evil.
Yes.
Painting in the horror setting. Zombie Bob Ross. I had the Resident Evil remake.
Yeah.
And then I had Rogue Squadron.
I had both the Rogue Squadrons. I had all the Resident Evils that they put out for the GameCube. I had the Eternal Darkness.
First party.
Yeah. Robotech.
Actually, no. That was Silicon Knights, but that was first
party. Exclusively for...
It was published by Nintendo.
Yeah, for Nintendo. You know, I had the Robotech game. I had, you know, the Zeldas, Mario Sunshine.
Well, I was going to say, try and pick the ones that weren't published by Nintendo. And how big was your library? Because if I only do that, I'm coming up with maybe three games.
Let's see. I think Crazy Taxi?
But if I'm throwing in everything that Nintendo made, the library gets massively bigger, because then I've got Mario Sunshine, I've got Mario Kart Double Dash, I've got Mario Tennis, Mario Golf. God, Mario did a bunch of sports back then.
Yeah.
he really did. And I've got the Metroid games out of that era. Again, first party. I've got Eternal Darkness. So my list gets bigger when I include first party, but when I don't, I have a very small list.
You see, I mean, would Eternal Darkness, would that be a first party? Or?
That's first party. I mean, it was published by Nintendo.
Because, they had that Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles that, you know, is a Square Enix game, but exclusively for...
There's a difference between an exclusive and a first party. If it's exclusive, like Resident Evil might have been exclusive to GameCube, the Resident Evil remake.
Yes.
Was exclusive to GameCube.
Now, since that was Capcom.
Yeah. So that was still a third-party developer. And I want to say, I think Eternal Darkness probably, I don't know, Silicon Knights that did Eternal Darkness.
Yes.
But I don't necessarily know that they weren't owned or at least somehow funded by Nintendo to make that. So
yeah,
it feels like it was a first party title. But there's plenty of people who are listening who probably know the answer to that question and can correct us on that. And if you would like to correct us or would like to weigh in on this whole thing, we'd love to know your opinion. 334-272-9228. So they announced that. It is not, again, going back to look at the games, there's like four games going to be out at launch.
Yeah.
There is Zelda, and then there's A bunch Others? Of yeah, really there is.
Got a kind of a list here. Let's see.
What do you? Yeah.
Thank you, Fast, thank you, RJ.
Fast RMX, Has Been Heroes, I Am Setsuna, Snipper Clips, 1-2 Switch, Just Dance 2017, The Legend of Zelda: Breath of the Wild, Skylanders, Imaginators, and Super Bomberman R.
Okay.
From listed here, it says all for March of 2017 or March 3rd of 2017.
Right.
So in North America.
So Setsuna and right, the Bomberman.
I was exaggerating with the four titles. So it's more like what 10.
Two, four, six, eight at nine at launch. Yeah.
Okay. Nine titles at launch.
Yeah.
Which is, okay. I mean, that number's nice, but are the games worth anything? And that's a good question.
Was that, Nate in the chat room was asking, was that punching game? Yeah. The wild arm?
Not arms.
Wild
arms. It's arms. Called arms.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is that, when's that released?
That's like spring, but I don't think that's March.
Okay.
Let's see. Quarter 2 of 2017.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. A lot of what they showed, while some of it would be released day and day, or day and date of the system, most of this stuff was either coming later this spring, coming this summer, or coming this fall.
Yeah.
Splatoon 2 is this summer. Mario is this fall.
Which I'm hoping they'll sell a lot of Splatoon 2. That seems to be a really popular one on the Wii U. People enjoy it.
Man, Splatoon's actually really good.
Yeah.
I played it at E3, and it's really... That's worth, again, going back to the Wii U and having the games that had a really great library of games, Splatoon would have been one of those in there. Splatoon, also first party, is their own thing. So they've got a lot of work to do to, I guess, broaden that library and bring people in. The Nintendo name alone will bring people in, and I've seen a lot of people who are just ready to jump on this thing based on Legend of Zelda alone. Regardless of the gimmick of this thing of being portable and everything else, they just want their Zelda game and they want it on the new console.
Yeah.
So there's been plenty of people who are swayed one way or another just because of the games. And I'm in that thing of being swayed as a not right now, let's give it more games.
Yes.
And even better, because right now you can buy, you know, when this thing releases, Wii U's are going to be
cheap,
hopefully very readily available at a very affordable price.
Mm-hmm.
And you should be getting some good deals there. And it's got a really good library of games at this point in time. Buying a Wii U right now, you have a treasure trove of fantastic things to play. Buying a Switch right now, you have about one game. Zelda, I would say. To be your big main draw.
No.
And you won't get another one until later this spring if you're into that arms thing, later this summer if you want Splatoon 2, and then later on if you want Mario and whatever else. Skyrim can go jump off a cliff. I don't care.
Yeah, I have it on my PC.
How many more times am I going to play it, and how am I going to play it on your... No.
I don't need...
No!
Yeah.
I said the same thing in the chat when this thing happened. I was like, why? Why? Why are you doing that?
Now, maybe I missed this part of the press conference or anything. What media are they going to be on? Are they going to be on discs?
Cards.
Or cards. Oh, so they're going back to the cards.
Yeah. Cards. Little.
Interesting.
Little, they're like. Somebody
kind
had a picture
the 3DS?
Of them. Somebody had a picture of them. They're really tiny.
Hmm.
They're cards. Yeah.
Interesting. And $300, right? For
$299.99 here in the States. Releases on March 3rd. And. Pre-orders are open now, and some of the stores here locally have run out of availability. Some haven't, so you can still go put in a pre-order if you would like to do that, and get it when it comes out March 3rd. Again, this is something that okay, I say this right now, but I'm going to PAX South later in the month, and the Switch is going to be there.
They'll have it playable.
And that for whatever change. Reason, if I get my hands on this thing and it sways me in some way, God, I don't know how. Then I will gladly eat my words of my own opinion of not being interested in this thing.
All right.
I do want to play it. Obviously, it's a new console. I want to try it out.
Mm-hmm.
The portability aspect of it really is interesting to me.
Yeah.
But I don't know, man. I barely play the portable systems I got now.
Yeah. It looks like when it is in the portable version with the controllers on the side, it's about the same size as a Wii U tablet?
Something like that, yeah.
Around that size?
The battery life's only about 3 hours, by the way, when it's outside of that thing.
I'm not expecting a lot. I mean,
well, that's pretty low.
Yeah.
That's pretty low. Some people have hour commutes to work and stuff. I mean, if you're just talking about people who use these in a portable setting where they're commuting in between wherever they're going, school, work, whatever, and maybe an hour there, hour back type thing. So it's, I don't know. Like I said, I go play PAX. I go to PAX South. I get my hands on it. I come back and I'll tell you, you know, how it felt or anything like that. Who knows?
I wonder if Nintendo's going to actually sell, like, that base station standalone.
They do.
Okay, they will. So that way you could, like, you know, if you do have a commute, you could have one at home. Then you could buy a separate one.
I wish I knew where the bleep was on this thing, because I want to bleep myself when I tell you that it's $90. $90 for a dock.
Wow. Okay, so if you really, really just want to throw your money away, you could buy two base stations.
And one of the, what is Polygon or somebody showed, Nintendo has a image of, like, here's how the dock works. It's cable management. That's all it is.
Yeah, and a output for to HDMI.
It's cable management. That's it. I mean, there is a box inside the docking station that the HDMI plugs into, that the power supply plugs into. That is it.
So there's no performance enhancement. There's no CPU are there.
Yeah, there isn't, but there is a you do get a bit of, from what I understand, from what Nintendo has officially said, we'll take Breath of the Wild as example, Zelda. Okay. We'll just call it the new Zelda. The new Zelda will output 1080p when it's docked. All
right.
When it's not, it's only going to output the maximum on that screen, which I think is 720.
All right.
Or maybe a little bit less, or somewhere in there. And that's going to be the same thing, I think, with Skyrim. It reaches a certain resolution on the portable side, and then it gets pushed to 1080, or 900, I think, for one of the other games gets pushed to 900 whenever it's in the docked position. And then the thing connects with, like, a USB-C port, and that's it. You plug that into there, and then it gets put on your TV, and that's it. Charging $90 for that thing.
How much are they going to charge for replacement remote controls for when you lose, like, one half of your...
70. I think it's 70 for a pair, and
all right.
I don't remember what it is, but it's expensive. All the peripherals, and in fact, I just opened that story. Hang on, where is that? Additional charging dock will be $90. What? Hang on. An extra Joy-Con controller. Does this mean only one, or does this mean a pair?
A pair.
You get a pair?
You sure?
I don't know.
I would hope so.
When's the last time you got a pair of controllers with anything?
Well, I mean, like, when they sell the Wii U and the Nunchuck, they weren't, like, a set. You had to buy the Nunchuck and the Wii U, I mean, the Wii controller.
Then split.
Yeah, so.
Who's on the phone?
Chris is on the phone.
He'll hold. Good. I'm sorry.
One second, Chris.
I know. Chris will hang on. He's good. I'm sorry, Chris, I'm about into a, not really a rage, but a shock. An extra Joy-Con controller will be $80 at launch. And the controller's two parts can be purchased separately for $50 each.
Oh, geez.
They can keep it.
Holy hell.
Because, yeah. You know, like, I'm telling
God.
You. God. People are going to, they're going to lose one half of the controller. You know, it's going to happen.
Oh, it's losable.
Yeah.
Besides that thing, yeah.
What the? Oh, my God. The Joy-Con charging grip costs $30.
The what?
That's the little grip that you put the controllers on that makes it look like the little, like, that Sony dog head.
Next.
This is a central panel to which the controllers can be attached, allowing play to continue with no loss of battery power. It's also necessary for the Joy-Con controller to take on a more traditional pad structure when the Switch is connected to a television, giving it an ergonomic function that many gamers will find appealing. By the way, when he held that thing up, when he held the charging grip when it made it look like a controller, made it look like a regular controller, only small. Holy crap. It was tiny.
I mean, like, I don't have Donald Trump-sized hands, so, like, my hands are big.
It was really,
that
really
thing is
small. Even the Joy-Con part of it, whenever you play those separately, are very tiny. Dude, they are so tiny. At least this is what it looked
that's
like.
What, yeah, on the screen. Yeah, that's what it looked to me.
Let's go to Chris.
All right. Hey, Chris.
Sounds like y'all are having fun.
You know, it's a new console, and it's fun to talk about it, but unfortunately it's Nintendo again. And they're doing the thing that they do, and I guess targeting an audience that isn't us. I'm not exactly, and then again, with these prices, I'm not sure who they're targeting with all these peripherals.
Rich
these
people are, that don't know what they're doing.
This is ridiculous.
Probably.
This
yeah,
is insane.
Yeah, but anyway, it bit me, so I had to get one with Zelda, but, you know, that's as far I'm going to go with that. And, you know, of course,
dude, I don't knock anybody that wants this thing. No, there's no problem with anybody that wants this thing.
Yeah, I'm not going to worry about losing the darn controllers because it's going to be right there in the same position or
hey, once parents find out how much it's going to cost to replace those controllers, they can't be losing those at all.
I kind of looked at some of that, but it'll either be in the docking station or in the John with me.
All right.
Hey, is Zelda the only game you're interested in on that system?
So far, and unless they start listening to people and get their head out of the rump, and, you know, like you said, where in the heck is Metroid at, Nintendo?
They haven't done anything with Metroid in...
Other M?
What was the last one? Yeah, I was about to say, what was the last one?
Yeah, Other M was the last one I know of.
But
yeah.
That wasn't even Nintendo. That was, like, outsourced.
It was Team Ninja, I think.
Yeah.
And that would be the ones on the GameCube and then the re-release on the Wii of the three prime.
They did do the re-release, but that was a re-release. Yeah. They haven't done a Metroid game.
I still wholeheartedly say Nintendo should take Sega's cue and just get out of the consoles except for the handheld and just develop for the PlayStation and the Xbox.
I don't know. You know, I figure that time's got to come at some point, but I think the sales of their handhelds will keep them going plenty.
Yeah.
I think their handhelds
will be
fine.
Continue the handhelds, that's fine. But, you know, as far as the other stuff, forget about the gimmicks. You know, just say, you know what, let's just not do a household console anymore. We're just going to focus on handhelds and then, like, making games for the other systems.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, then they can put all their, you know, their time and research into actually making fun, good games that people will play because they already have an Xbox and a PlayStation.
Hey, Chris, do you mind me asking you on the price that like, I know you got to put down $50, but what was your total that came to with you bought the system and the game, right? That's it?
Yeah, just playing game. Yeah, that's all I've got. I hadn't paid them off, but I just put down, you know, a minimum $5 at GameStop for the game. And
what is the total price?
I don't know. I hadn't paid them off. I just put the minimum down, and I want to just wait till it comes in.
Gotcha. Okay. Mm-hmm. Just curious.
But yeah, is a break coming up?
Yeah, we got a break coming up. So
put me on hold. I wanted to talk to about another game I've been playing recently that's excellent. You may have heard of Divinity.
Well, I tell you what, just call back because we're gonna be on this Nintendo thing for at least this first hour.
Okay. Well, I'll call back later on when you get off.
Yeah, we'll get around to what we played, and then you can call in during that time, and we'll find out what you've been playing. But we're gonna stick with this Nintendo thing for a while. Thanks for the call, Chris.
All right. See you later.
See you in a bit.
If you've got a call, you want to voice in on this thing, we'd love to hear from you. 334-272-9228 is the number. Give us a call. We would love to hear from you and figure out what your opinion is. Is this a system you're going to get? Is this a system you're going to hold off and get later? Is this a system you have no intention of touching ever in your life? What are your thoughts? Are these prices reasonable to you? If they are, I really, really would like to talk to you and find out why that is. We've got to take a break. We will come back with more of Endgame Chat. By the way, all the music provided this episode comes from RJ.
Thanks, RJ.
Hey, you're welcome.
This one says it's called Final Takeoff, which I think is Afterburner.
You'll know it when you hear it.
Yeah, of course we will. We'll be right back with more Endgame Chat right after this. And welcome back to In-Game Chat, or Light Jazz, this afternoon. This is from, oddly enough, this is from Streets of Rage.
All I could think of is, like, when you said that commercial about, if you like light jazz, which Joey does for...
This is...
Streets of Rage, huh?
It's called In the Bar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this doesn't fill me with rage. Mm-hmm. I am digging it, though.
Anyway, thanks again for these... There clips there, RJ. Mm-hmm.
Don't forget to clap.
That's what I'm about to do, because I totally forgot to do it.
Yay!
Moving on. So, on the Nintendo thing again. So, I still didn't finish going through this thing.
The chat? Or the...
No, the prices.
Oh, okay. There's more?
Ridiculous money. Yeah. All right. So, the Joy-Con charging grip costs $30. This is a central panel to which the controllers can be attached. That's for the controller. Mm-hmm. However, the combined cost of a second Joy-Con and charging grip setup will be $110. One alternative is the Pro Controller.
One alternative is your, you know, arm and leg.
Which will retail for $70. This is broadly similar to the pricing of a PS4 or Xbox One controller at the time of their launch, mm-hmm. though each of those systems launched at a higher price point. Nintendo is also selling additional Nintendo Switch docks, which charges the Switch tablet and connects it to a television. This is $89.99. Package will include an AC adapter and an HDMI cable.
Now, the Pro Controller, they have something similar to that on the Wii U, correct?
Yeah, it's basically, it has no functionality of the Joy-Cons. It's just a regular controller that interacts with the system.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So, it's not a... I don't think it has any move function. Like I say move. I don't think it has any
waggle
function. Waggle functions, yeah.
Like the Joy-Cons do, though, right?
Yeah, the Joy-Cons are, yeah, they've got motion controls and
they just love those waggle controls, don't they?
They've got some other technology in them. Not enough that's really selling me on this thing. But
for $110, no.
Those prices are ridiculous.
If you ever had any complaints about the DualShock 4 or the Xbox One controller, replacing that, not anymore.
No.
Yeah, and the system retails for $299. The wireless battery life varies between 3.5 to 6.5 hours.
All right.
And
games are about $60.
Depends on the game and how it's being used. You'll only get 3 hours when playing a demanding title like Zelda. This is slightly behind what you could expect from the 3DS, but then it's a much more powerful, power-intensive system. To Nintendo's credit, it didn't attempt to bury this news. In any case, it's enough to get you through your commute and back to a charging cable or dock.
Maybe.
expect USB-powered backup charging batteries to be pretty hot accessories, though.
Ooh.
Yeah, so that you can charge it while you're on the go.
What about online? Gotta pay.
Well, yeah, they've got here's the other thing with Nintendo is they're not using the Street Pass or the Miiverse stuff anymore. They keep doing these things, and then they keep killing them off. If you just stick with one, people wouldn't be so tired of every time you change it. Although now they're changing it, and they're going into the online payment, the
model,
pay for online model, basically.
Yeah.
And that won't roll out. It'll be free up until the fall. I think fall of this year is when they'll start the pricing for it. And so, just having said that, we don't have a price on this yet. We don't know what the online portion is going to cost. We don't know how much that is. They haven't announced how much it's going to cost. They have announced that if you're going to play online with people, that it will cost money in order for you to do that. If you want to share screenshots and things like that will not cost. You can use the free version of their online system. No word on if it's going to be numbers and names, gamer tag type stuff, or if it's going to be their old number system that was ridiculous.
Oh, yeah. That friend system?
Yeah, whatever that. It was ridiculous. That was terrible. That was horrible. So there is no word on that. There is word that you'll get free games.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up.
Every month, there'll be a new free game for you to play if you are a paid subscriber. You will get
access. Is it like with the classic arcade or like
they haven't specified
virtual machine?
They haven't specified much, but it will. They have said it would be Nintendo and Super Nintendo games. They haven't said that it's going to go beyond that, as in, like, will it be N64 titles? Will it be anything from GameCube days or anything like that? They haven't gone any further to elaborate on that. But what we do know about the free month that you get this game for, that is all you get it for. It is only one game. You get it for the month. when the month is over,
in order
you
to play
do
it.
Not get this game anymore. It is done unless you buy it.
Yeah.
That goes in against every single thing that Sony and Microsoft are doing with their online subscription fees. When you get free games from them, being an
they're
online
in your
subscriber,
library for as long as you have that service.
They're in there for as long as you have the service. Xbox 360 games are in there forever. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter how long you have the service. If you have the service when you get the free Xbox 360 game, it's yours to keep forever. On the PS Plus side of things, it's there for as long as you have the service, and you can go back and play it as many times as you want. Plus, they give out 6 games a month.
Yeah.
And
for multiple consoles.
And Microsoft gives out 4 a month. 2 for Xbox One, 2 for Xbox 360. And
Switch is only giving out 1.
Switch is just doing 1.
And then you got to pay if you want to continue to play it.
And it's only for the month.
So, that's yeah. It. Hey, here's original Mario Brothers, because, like, you know, we need another port of that.
Now, I don't think this will sway anyone. I don't think that is going to say, well, you had my money until that happened, now you don't. I don't think that's going to be the case. People will buy it because they want to play online.
I think it's more of a nuisance.
Yeah, it depends on what the price is. Again, we don't know what the price is. Dude, if they come out with, like, hey, it's $10 a year. Oh, all right. Then guess what? The free game a month doesn't seem so bad anymore because it's $10 a year. Sure, it's an inconvenience.
But it's not even... But in a way, it's not even like a free game because like if you want to continue to play it, you know, you just get the first month free.
Yeah, but if it's a Nintendo game or a Super Nintendo game...
You probably have it elsewhere.
You either already have it or you can be done with it in a month.
Yeah.
You can get your time with it in a
and
month.
And if you like it, you can emulate it.
And not for nothing, but how many? I wish I had a crowd here that I could say, "Hey, show of hands, how many of you?"
He
play,
got a crowd too.
Yeah, how many of you play the backwards compatible games on your Xbox One?
I don't have an Xbox One, but on my PS4, like I still play the PS3 games that you know I've gotten free, and also the Vita games.
How often do you? Well, the Vita games. This goes back to me and not having to worry about a commute between work and home or work and school or anything. I don't have a commute. It's 20 minutes. I got to drive. That's it. I can't.
20 minutes down the interstate, you're playing Mario.
I know. I can't. I don't have time to play a game. I'm also driving a car. Yeah. I can't play anything.
Oh, like that stops people around here.
Right. Yeah, I can't play anything on a commute. So even the free Vita games, while I grab them every time they release them, I pretty much only play them about 3 times a year when I'm taking trips.
Which reminds me, Dave, the Tentacle.
I'm about to say plane ride, bus ride, train ride, something like that.
I mean,
How many PS Plus games? I know you've downloaded a bunch, but how many do you actually play? How many do you continually go back to play?
Very few, actually.
I know.
Because for me, it's
I'm
like...
I'm not saying it's
I
a bad
like,
service.
No, I mean, if I want it, I'll get it, and I'll play it later on. But I get those stretches where, you know, I play something for months and months on end, and eventually when I get the feeling, I just go back and pick it up.
Yeah.
But it doesn't happen very often, because in the time it takes for me to play... For that stretch, something else that I want to play immediately comes out, and I pick up and start playing that.
Like I said, the majority of my Vita library is from PS Plus.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And my entire Vita library is from PS Plus.
But I'm also in a different
situation. But I don't play my Vita very much.
I'm in a different situation where, like, at work, you know, I'll have long stretches of time where, you know, I can play the Vita because, you know, I'm, like, you know, elsewhere. Or, you know, so my work allows me.
Your government's proud of you.
Yeah, I know. Well, I mean, you know... When there's time off and there's nothing to do.
I get it, dude.
Yeah.
But that's, when I look at how often I use backwards compatibility or these free games that I'm getting from these, from the online subscriptions, it's actually very little. I grab them, yes, because I want them in my library at the whatever time that I get around to playing it, but it's actually very little that I go and play those free games. And that's just, look, that's a case-by-case basis, and that's my case only. It could be different for you. I don't want to say it, but I don't want to say that this represents the majority.
No.
Although when I look at threads about this thing and when I look at research about it, it tends to prove that point that the research that Microsoft gets for the backwards compatibility use, they don't see a lot of use.
Yeah.
It's the... The subtitle of the thread for backwards compatibility on NeoGAF is Xbox One backwards compatibility. Everybody wants it. Nobody uses it.
That's true.
We talk about how bad we wanted our old games to be played on our new system, They give us that ability, and they slowly roll out these things with that ability.
And we don't play it.
And we hardly ever take advantage of it. We get a massive
I wonder if it's just
excitement.
We're so inundated with so many titles that, you know, playing something that, you know, I've already played 10 years ago.
Well, that could be. Or, if you're in my situation, you have a last-gen system that still works perfectly fine.
You just pull that out,
blow the dust off, hook it back up, and start playing again.
Yeah,
I was up in my attic yesterday putting up Christmas decorations, and there right there was my Dreamcast. And I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
And like inside it was Shenmue. And I'm like, oh, I want to play that again. I left it back up there. I went down the attic and I know where it's at.
My Dreamcast is in the bedroom next to the CRT. It's still hooked up to it. And it has.
I still love the Dreamcast.
It still has Daytona USA 2001 in there. Yeah.
Spam Daddy asks, do you think if the Switch is easy to use in group settings for multiplayer, would that fuel the sales if itself links without effort? No, I don't think it will fuel. I don't think multiplayer will fuel the sales on this thing. I don't think group setting multiplayer will fuel will push sales on this thing.
I think it'd be an interesting thing where, like, if everybody has their own Switch and they're all looking at their own like little portable monitor and playing Mario Kart.
But I don't think anybody.
I don't think it's a console that pushes multiplayer. It's the games themselves.
Yeah, it's got to be the games.
It's the games that pushes the multiplayer, not the console.
I don't necessarily know that anybody is looking to buy this thing thinking, man, we're going to have such great parties with this system. But I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm a pretty much of a loner guy, so
maybe there's that person out there that's like, I was waiting for Just Dance.
Well, it's not that, but think about families who have kids, who have multiple kids, you know, who have brothers and sisters and things like that. More than one kid. And they're going to look at that as like, can both of them play the game? Is this a system where I can put in front of my kids and have them occupied?
How many kids can I keep occupied at the same time?
Well, I could ignore them and drink my vodka.
So there's that. Again,
it's not marketed to us.
It's not necessarily the demographic that they're looking at there. So
yeah.
But yeah,
Nintendo's
kind of been that way
for a while. They've kind of been gearing towards the casual gamer, gearing towards the family environment, you know, gearing towards that instead of old curmudgeon-y folks like us who don't have kids.
If you were a big Nintendo guy.
All right.
Is that price point $300? Is that good? Is $300 good for this new console? Or should it have been $250?
I mean, obviously, I want to say should have been $250.
Well, everybody
wants
it to be lower.
A chance to save money. You're going to jump on it because then that extra $50 you could go towards, you know, one half of a Joy-Con or, you know, a game or something.
Let me put it to you this way: if what would have been the price range if you were intent on getting this? What would have been the price range that would have been your cutoff? That would have said, no, I can't get it if it's higher than this.
Any higher than 300.
300 was like the baseline.
Yeah,
or at least
really.
Like that, not necessarily the baseline. That is the limit.
That's the ceiling.
Yeah.
If it was like 350, I would really have been like, oh, man, that's way too high. Mm-hmm. 300, I'm like, all right, I could see it. I mean, I'm not going to throw down, you know, that money for it. But like, that to me is more acceptable. Yeah. You know, anything lower would obviously be preferable, but... If it was higher than that, if they would have came out with like $350 or $400, I would have been, this is ridiculous. No. And I think most people probably would too.
Current gen systems, how much are they there?
Because it doesn't play movies.
What?
No, the current gen systems, how much are they now?
Oh.
$250 for Xbox One.
So you better not be
the Xbox
higher than the ones that are out now. No.
Well, you know, I say $250. I may still be on Black Friday time. It's either $250 or $300.
$300. Oh, so I'll say $300.
But like,
you better not be higher than... 300.
People that buy Xbox Ones, right? They could use those as a home entertainment system, right?
For their
television,
functionality
for their movies, their Blu-rays,
right.
All these things. Even
the
PS4.
This thing is portable. I'm sure it's going to have apps.
But, you know, an app you can't put in my, you know, new extended cut of Suicide Squad and just, you know, cry myself to sleep.
Why not?
Huh?
Why not? Oh, well, if you've got it digitally.
I've got the extended edition digitally on
Vudu from when I bought the disc.
I actually bought it?
Yeah. It's Steelbook.
Oh, you and your Steelbook.
Yeah, it was a Steelbook.
You'd buy the worst movies. Oh, you did buy the worst movies of a Steelbook.
It's Steelbook, and yes.
Scott
likes the Steelbooks.
There's no amount of Steelbooking that would make that worth a purchase to me. But I mean, it's one of those things, like, you know, that people could use the other consoles as... More so, mm-hmm. You know, they do have the apps on the PlayStation, Xbox. They do have, you know, the other stuff, but also you have the discs. And mm-hmm. This one, you know, with it going back to cartridge, which, I mean, there are positives about cartridge as opposed to, you know, disc media. In my opinion, the loads are, you know, going to be a lot faster. You don't have to worry about scratching, stuff like that. The durability.
Durability, yeah.
So, I mean, there are pluses and minuses. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I don't really foresee people using this as, like, a home theater system or a home entertainment system with another one.
Nobody's using the Wii U as a home entertainment system or anything like that.
Yeah.
Nobody's using those. I mean, those apps exist, but I don't think anybody's using them when they think of their Nintendo product.
Yeah.
It's still not a thing. I'm sure more games will be announced, and that library will grow. And that'll be, you know, I made a comment somewhere on when the pre-orders were being talked about, and I was really kind of deciding should I pre-order, because it's a new gadget and I'm really weird about these things.
We love new gadgets.
So my thought was that, okay, maybe I want to wait on this. Maybe this isn't its final form. You know what I'm saying? How they do these things, where. I mean, this thing releases in March. It's a console release in March. The closest I have to that is, I think the 3DS may have released in February or something like that. So didn't really get a holiday release type thing.
Yeah.
Sticks to the portability of it or whatever. It's a portable system type thing.
Mm-hmm.
My thought is come November, come holiday season, by then they're probably going to have bundles. Where it's like you get this and you get these games that come with it. They may have a deluxe version, kind of like they did with the Wii U. There was the 32 gig system, and then there was some other system below that, I think, or something. I can't remember what it was. But there were like two SKUs for it, although I think the 32 is all you can find now. Mm. But at that point in the holiday season, they're going to be competing against whatever Sony's got, which will probably be the PS4 Pro, which will probably be dropped down a bit. You know, right now it's $400, probably be knocked down to $350, mm-hmm. maybe $300. I don't know. Xbox will have the Scorpio, which will be released later this year around the holiday season. So they've got that. So where does Nintendo sit? Nintendo, are they sitting at the, hey, here's your... These are your systems with all your bells and whistles, but, you know, little guy over here, we're still good. You know, we're still sitting at $300 for us. They have to compete with that, I think. They release multiple SKUs with a deluxe version that comes with more peripherals in it, you know, mm-hmm. Which I don't know. I think it already comes with a lot of peripherals. But a deluxe version that maybe has bigger Joy-Con controllers. Perhaps. I don't know. Those things look really, really small right now.
For a small fee.
I'm just curious as to, look, you had the Xbox One and then you had an Xbox One S not much longer after it. These things get revamped, they get remodeled, they get redone, technology improves, technology gets better, technology becomes cheaper, faster,
mm-hmm.
and so who knows what will happen between the time that they release and then the holiday season. This will be a good time for them to judge the sales of this thing and to say, okay, we really got to do something for the holiday season to get this thing in people's hands and to drive up our market. So,
yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do. But what?
It just feels like for right now, there's nothing on it right now.
No.
It just makes it look appealing right now.
Not interested whatsoever.
But give it time, something might happen, but not right now.
And maybe. Well, I mean, like, prices. When the Wii U came out, was that something you'd be like, oh, hey, I want it, or were you just like, no, this doesn't appeal to me at all?
Yeah.
But over time, that's something that, you know, you came to be like, all right, this actually has made it worth its while. The price has gone down, there's been more games. All right, sure, I'll bite.
Yeah, but you had a better feeling about the Wii than the when it first came out than the Switch, didn't you?
The Wii or the Wii U?
Wii U.
Whichever one it was.
Did I have a better feeling about the Wii U when it released?
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to the Switch? Mm-hmm. I don't remember what I felt about the Wii U.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, I mean, I was. It's about on par. I wasn't impressed with the Wii U either.
Okay.
So it's
the games that say
it was neat
you.
That you could go straight from your TV to the controller and then be in your own, you know, as long as you're on the same network in the house, you could go to any room in the house and continue playing your game. Mm-hmm. That was really kind of cool. But again, it all boiled down to the games.
Yeah.
And at the launch of the Wii U, it had nothing. Mm-hmm. It really did not have any kind of a library that interested me.
Right.
And again, this is all subjective to the person talking. So, It didn't have any games that really interested me. It wasn't until the thing had been out for a good long while and it started getting some really good titles into its library. The ability to go back to Zelda Wind Waker HD was something that I was really interested in. But Mario Kart 8, Bayonetta 2,
mm-hmm.
even some of the lesser ones like Captain Toad Treasure Tracker was really good.
Mm-hmm.
Splatoon really caught my eye when it released. Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze, another really good title that was... I mean, they really nailed some here towards the end of the lifespan of this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think right now, anybody that jumps into a Wii U has a great selection to pick from, just a good library of games mm-hmm. to go with. I couldn't say that when the thing launched. And I can't say that for the Switch when it launches. Is that the library? You got Zelda. That's it. So that's hopefully Zelda can hold you over until the next thing comes out that you want to play,
mm-hmm.
That they release. And right now, the only things on my radar for this game, for this system, is Zelda,
mm-hmm.
which I can play on the Wii U if I want to go that route, or Mario. Those are the only two games I'm looking at. Splatoon's a great game. And so maybe that would be like my maybe I would grab that. I don't know. I don't know how they've changed Splatoon 2 from Splatoon 1 to see mm-hmm. if that's a... ever played Splatoon in E3. And I've seen it played over at friends' houses and stuff with their kids and everything. But I don't necessarily know that it's the one for me. I think it's a really good game from what little I played. So maybe 3.
All right.
Definitely 2, maybe 3. That is it. And that alone doesn't warrant a purchase for me.
Right.
For some people, that's it. That's for some people, Zelda, and that's it. They're hooked. They're done. Mm-hmm. You release that on whatever system you want to. It's Zelda. I'm getting it. And, anyway, we're up at the top of the hour break here. So we're going to go take a break. When we come back, more in-game chat here for you with, I don't know, we'll talk about what we've been playing. Which really, it's only going to amount to destiny for me. We've got more music. Again, everything, all of our music this year is completely brand new. I know we reused tracks last year over and over again. I'm not doing that at all this year.
Still have the same opening.
Completely brand new. Well, yeah.
I thought you said you were going to change that.
I said I might.
Okay, you might.
I didn't say I was.
Right.
I might.
All right.
And I just haven't decided that I would. All of these are provided by RJ, by the way, so thank you again. Mm-hmm. From Street Fighter V, this is Hillside Plaza. We will be right back after this.
Send in music. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to In-Game Chat. I'm Scott, along with RJ and Matt.
Fighting games do have the craziest music.
This is not a fighting game.
Oh, really?
No.
I just figured since it's RJ.
This is Studiopolis Zone from Sonic Mania.
Oh. Sonic has some of the craziest music.
Nice save.
Yeah, thank really. You. Welcome back to the show. If you want to get in on the conversation, give us your opinions of the Nintendo Switch or opinions of anything gaming related. Give us a call. 334-272-9228 is the number. 334-272-9228. So what have we all been playing? I'm going to start with you, Matt.
Played a little bit. I had to remember. I played a little bit more of Assassin's Creed Syndicate. I finally finished out.
Well, you say you didn't touch any of that.
I know, but then I remembered I did because I'm terrible with memory.
Okay.
I got the shock bombs, and so I finished out, you know, clearing out all the map and everything. I'm on sequence, I think, 6.
Did the thing open up yet for you for World War One? Did that thing?
Is that like, because I have a sequence 8 that's open. I don't know if that's.
It's not a sequence. It's a spot on the map you have to go to.
Then not yet. That I've noticed.
Look at the map and look all the way at the end of the Thames.
Okay.
On the right side of the map.
Okay, the top part of the Thames.
Yeah, over by Whitechapel and stuff. Yeah. Go to the end of the Thames there, and you should see like a helix glitch looking thing. It's very, very prominent. It's not something that you have to really search for. And apparently, if you go there, it's like some Then it'll start the thing. So.
But so I played that. Still loving it. Still enjoying it. Played a little bit more of Elite Dangerous, just because I'm like, all right, this looks.
Yeah.
With the alien being found and everything, I'm like, oh, let me just get back into that. And then I remembered I forgotten how to play Elite Dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll happen. Fun. And then what I've been playing the most of actually lately is Hitman.
Yeah, they did another one of those contract kills. I don't remember what his name is.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's out there now.
It's not the Colonel. Anyways, yeah, so I haven't even gone after that. I've actually been going back through, the first two missions, Paris and Sapienza, and just trying to redo those over and over, doing the escalation missions.
Mm-hmm.
Just trying to boost my score so I could get more, I guess, Hitman swag. Enjoying it a lot. I forgot how much fun this game is.
Yeah.
So Hitman's what I've been doing.
I need to do that again. I haven't tried any of these timed kill type things, and I'd really like to do that. Give it a shot and see. But that's it for you?
Yep.
RJ, anything for you?
Playing some 3-on-3 freestyle basketball online on the PS4. I've been playing with a lot of random teammates, and everything I really need to put an effort into playing with friends, because random matches get very, very frustrating very quickly. I mean, the common concepts such as staying on your man on defense, stop trying to camp for rebounds when the man you're supposed to be guarding is sitting there wide open beyond the three-point line. Somebody guard him. I can't guard two people at once. It has to be your job, and they don't get the concept of that. I've been told to get on your headset and start screaming at people, but that's not my that's not my style of play, so I don't do that. A little bit of Let It Die. I haven't been playing it as much as I used to, but I still pick that up every now and then. Still playing on the 27th floor. Haven't got to 30 yet, but I hear that there's going to be some development made on that game. I think they're going to add more floors, more things of that nature, so I'm going to be looking forward to that. I've also played at GT South this past Friday. We had a little tournament for Street Fighter 4 Arcade Edition, and so me and some folks got together out there and started having a good old time playing that. Haven't played the game in a year and a half.
Oh, wow.
So had to knock some of the rust off that with my first match, because like I said, I haven't played in a long time. We had about 11 folks sign up. Not a big turnout. Could have been a lot more, but some people either didn't know about it or didn't have time to come, because Friday night, some people have to work and do whatever. Let's see, we had some of the winners was Sin won first place. Friend of ours came in, played the tournament, got a nice little first place in the double elimination tournament. Let's see, Mike, another friend of ours, got second place. We're all in the same boat. Haven't played in a long time, so he got second place. And in the chat room is Head Crusher.
Head Crusher?
Yeah. He got third place. And he was doing some off-the-wall crazy stuff that night, like playing the tournament. Like, he had a character named Makoto. And for whatever reason, maybe just to have fun or maybe it was the liquor talking, I don't know, but he decided to have every attack button on the game as medium punch. And he won.
Wow. Good job there. Yeah,
good job to him. Yeah, and he won that one. So, yeah, it was, like I said, it was a pretty good time. Probably going to be going back into Street Fighter V later on, but it was felt nice to pick it up and still learn some stuff. Remember some things that I used to do a year and a half ago. But that's pretty much all of it playing.
Yeah. Speaking of Head Crusher, who is in the chat room, we've also got Lavos hanging out there. Nate's in the chat room as well. AC Wraith.
Hey, Nate.
Crimson Phoenix. Joe Knight. Kaolin. Moltile. Omega Man. And SpamDaddy44 hanging out in the chat room. Thank you guys for joining us in the chat room and for the show. So what have I been playing? I dipped back. I played a little bit more of Witness. And my opinion still sits that the puzzles can be difficult, but it's not. It's lacking that variation. The puzzles are still too similar. They vary, but it's still the same point and process of the puzzle. And so it's not really. It still hasn't pulled me in. I'm learning more of the mechanics about how some puzzles work. And then again, I went back and I looked at some of the puzzles that I completed. And I was trying to go through the logic of them, and then I came to one that I had completed, and I looked at it, and I was like, that logic doesn't work. If this logic over here works, then this logic here does not work. And I couldn't figure out how I had solved that puzzle correctly, other than by, I guess, guesswork.
Yeah, I was about to say, you guessed on that one, didn't you?
Yeah. And then, what else did I play? Oh, speaking of being rusty, I dipped back into Amplitude.
Wow.
Jeez.
Very rusty.
How long did it take you to fail a stage?
Oh, it was horrible. It was horrible. It was really bad.
So how long did it take you to remember the controls?
Well, it didn't take me long to remember the controls. It was just the timing and then I used to have a pattern as to how to switch lanes and to do everything.
Right,
and
right.
It was abysmal.
Yeah.
It was abysmal.
I didn't notice the part about the game about the surgery going on or something. It was like in the background talking about sounds like a surgery going on or something, and you have to operate this thing to make sure it's a success. That's what it sounds like. You didn't hear anything like that.
Mm-mm.
Try it again.
Amplitude?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, try it again.
Okay. Okay. Not too sure. What else? I dipped into Pac-Man Championship Edition 2 and pulled two scores up from B's to A's, which was nice. Went back and played some of those, and other than that, it was pretty much Destiny. So last time we spoke, that Friday night, I had run the raid for the very first time.
Yeah.
When I got home from the show Saturday, I ran the raid again. And then on Sunday, I think I ran the raid again Sunday morning. So the raid I've gotten down. I tried to run it again with my hunter, which is the last guy I got to run it on for this week. And there's a subreddit for fire teams, which I request to anybody to go use that subreddit, because that is a much better way to use it than the Destiny LFG website. Although the LFG website has gotten me through the Taken King expansion when I needed to find people to raid with. Never had a single problem with it. It's gotten me through Nightfalls, and it's gotten me through other raids. However, a couple of nights ago, I found a group to run the raid with, and we got to a certain segment. We defeated the boss, and if I can give them any kind of credit, they didn't boot me before I got my loot. I went ahead and got my loot, and then on the way to the next boss, they kicked me out of the chat room, and then they kicked me out of the fire team. I have no idea why, other than maybe somebody else was coming in that they wanted to come in and play, but it was really annoying. Because it's hard to find people who are in the middle of that raid. It's hard to find six people who are in the middle of the raid that you can just join up with. So I found another group and we started back over. We didn't get to the end. We had people who had to leave or that sort of thing, but nobody kicked anybody out. Everybody was nice and civil about it, which is why mm-hmm. I didn't feel bad about leaving when I told them, hey guys, I'm going to turn in. That's going to be it for me. So, mm-hmm. But it was still one of those situations where this could have gone very, very wrong by defeating the boss. And then I'm walking right up there to get my loot, to open up the chest, and then boom, they kick you out. And you even miss out on that.
Oh, that's happened before.
I'm sure. Yeah. But I just, after that, I thought about how bad it could have been. And then I thought, I got to be careful. Because mm-hmm. going with these LFGs, for the most part, I think they're fine. But the subreddit on the Fireteam subreddit is a much better community for mm-hmm. finding people to play with. Plus, you can really nail down people that you're looking for. For instance, one of the exotic quests to get the Outbreak Prime gun.
I still miss that.
Yeah. Well, that you've got some work to do, by the way. Yeah. You've got to turn on monitors in the raid, and those are.
I've seen that, and they have to be in the certain pattern, right?
Well, the pattern doesn't matter, although you should get them as you go. So, I mean, they'll come in an order. But once you get to a room where you have to stand on these pillars, it's all this binary code that has to be deciphered and everything else. You know, websites help you do it, but how people figured this out to begin with, mm-hmm. it's amazing. Once you do that, you unlock the first part of the quest. And the first part of the quest requires a fire team of you and then the two other classes. So it can't be a fire team of three Titans. It can't be a fire team of two Titans and a Hunter. It's got to be a Hunter, a Warlock, and a Titan in a fire team.
Wow.
And they have to go through the Nightfall together. They have to do some missions on the Plague Lands, you know, some public events and stuff like that. And then they have to do some math in the quest itself. They have to decipher this code, and everybody has to hit the button at the same time. Once you do that, you unlock a second part. Again, a fire team of those three have to go through and do a bunch of stuff. When you're done with that, you do some more math. Once you're done with that math, you have to do the raid again. Now, you can do it normal mode, hard mode, doesn't matter. You have to do the raid again. Mm-hmm. You have to be in a fire team that at least has a Warlock, a Hunter, and a Titan. It can have, you know, it can have four Titans and then a Warlock and a Hunter, and you're still good. Mm-hmm. It's just got to have that varying amount to do it.
Every type's got to be represented in this thing.
Right.
Yeah.
When you finish, again, you need to be in a fire team with a Hunter, a Warlock, and a Titan who have this part of the quest. Once you solve that, you actually get the weapon. I'm on the last stage right now where I have to run the raid again and then do that last part. But the best part about the subreddit, the Fireteam subreddit, is that I can just go and title my post, here's where I'm at, here's who I need, and there's plenty of people who are either willing to help out or are at that same situation. Mm-hmm. So my record book completion is almost done. This morning I finished doing 10 missions on hard mode from the new expansion, from the Rise of Iron expansion. I did those. I've been doing those throughout the week, just running a couple here and there. And so this morning I sat down and ran those.
Yeah.
And what was the other? Okay, so the only thing I have left to do is to get this exotic weapon. That'll finish up another slot in the record book. And then I have to do the Trials of Osiris, which is it's not necessarily an elite elimination style multiplayer, but it is elimination multiplayer, which is when you die, you don't respawn unless your teammates can respawn you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I have to run that. I don't have to get to the lighthouse, which is if you get 9 wins in a row, you get to go to the lighthouse. I don't have to do that. I just have to fill out my ticket, which basically means you run it once and a ticket gets full once you do a complete thing. Mm. And you have to do 5 of those, and I'm done 2, so I got to do 3 more. Again, I can just go to fire teams, type in, look, I'm filling out my card. I am not trying to be competitive here. I'm not trying to throw the game either. So if anybody's looking for just a nice little chill, relax multiplayer session, look for me, which is probably what I'll do tonight.
Yeah.
And then I'll knock out the Outbreak Prime quest.
Yeah, it seems like these missions that are going on since the expansion are getting a lot more elaborate since when we were playing, like that one mission where we had to like stand on a pillar and keep someone occupied while someone did something else, or yeah, it's been something like that. It's like, I don't know the names of characters, it's been too long, but it was like
some creature we had to take out. We were all together in that room and had to take him out, but someone had to keep a pillar occupied or something.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, yeah, that was King's Fall raid. Oh no, the raids are very, very coordinated and organized and teamwork and effort, that sort of thing. You've really got to be on your game to do that. And the challenge modes that they've put in there as well, you have to do that also. Luckily, man, I've got two characters up to level 400. I am lacking, boot armor. For my hunter, that's at 399. All I got to do is get that to 400, and then I'm there. All my three characters will have had 400. Once I finish the record book, I don't really know if I'm going to do much else. Iron Banner's coming up this week, so I may not even have to run the raid to get those 400 boots that I'm looking for. I may get them while playing Iron Banner. So once I hit 400 on all characters, once I finish up this record book, which I might do before Monday, Destiny will be done for me. I don't know much else that I would go in there and do because all my guys are up to whatever they need to be, and I'm all set until, you know, more content.
The next DLC comes out. Yeah. It's kind of like where I am in Dark Souls 3. I mean, all I really have to do is just play through and get unlock a new game plus 7, and after that, it's just waiting for the DLC.
You know, I haven't touched Division in a long time. I've got Titanfall 2, haven't played it. I got Watch Dogs 2, and I haven't touched it either. I've got Mafia 3 and I haven't messed with it. I've got The Last Guardian still sitting around and I haven't played with that very much at all.
Mm-hmm. These are all physical or digital?
These are all physical, actually. All physical? Titanfall 2 is digital. I say that. Titanfall 2 is digital, but everything else I mentioned was physical release.
Yeah.
So
got that visual. Yeah.
Huh?
You got Hitman.
I know. I've got Hitman to run with, and I've got Deus Ex Mankind Divided that I picked up on a sale. So I've got plenty to play, and this damn Destiny is just keeping me.
You're on the brink, so yeah.
Keeping me occupied, but I'm very close
to. You're on the brink of finishing everything.
I'm very
in there,
close
so, yeah.
to having a situation where, for me, I have no reason to get back into it.
Until the next DLC comes out,
You know?
Where I'm at with Dark Souls 3.
It'll be whenever they release the Moments of Triumph for Year 3 to see if I've gotten all of them done, and if I have, then fantastic. I'll move on. If not, I'll just knock those out. It'll be some more stuff for me to do, whatever it might be. To be honest, I don't know what it could be because I've pretty much wrapped it all up on that thing. So yeah, I've still got Assassin's Creed Syndicate to go through. I'm very close to the end of that I need to go through and play. So, and that's a digital copy as well. Got plenty to do.
Yeah.
Just haven't done anything. So, who's on the phone?
Chris.
Hey, Chris.
Sounds like you got a dilemma, huh?
No, not really a dilemma. It's just a sense that I've got all these games to play and I'm not doing anything with them. And then I've got, Resident Evil 7 comes out here this month.
Oh, yeah.
Horizon Until Dawn, or Zero Dawn comes out at the end of February. So, it's not like it's going to stop the trickle isn't stopping at all. It's still coming. So, but I've got plenty to occupy my time with once this urge of Destiny has left. And I'm not sad about it at all. I don't feel sad about hitting the peak of this thing to where I have no reason to go back into it. Not disappointed at all. In fact, relieved might be the better word for it, so that it's not still nagging at me because I do have that urge to finish this thing and get to this point and be done with it, you know?
I think it's great that you finally got level.
I know. Never did that. In the 2 years or 3 years the game has been out, this is the first time I've been able to max out any one of my characters, much less about to hit all three.
Yeah, that's great.
So, what about you, Chris? What have you been playing?
I've been playing the Divinity Original Sin, the remastered version that's on the systems now. I've been having a ball with that one. That one's great.
Never really got it too much into the remasters.
But
necessarily with Divinity, but with anything.
Yeah. Well, and that's when they brought over from the computer and all and added more content and stuff. But, yeah, I happened to pick it up at GameStop recently and so, it said it won 150 awards and all, but yeah, this one's pretty darn fun.
Yeah.
And it's challenging, too. You know, most games will give you quests and, you know, go here and mark this and do everything, but this one, you got to be your own Sherlock Holmes. You've got to actually walk through the door and do everything yourself and explore and talk to people to find out what's going on and, you know, and actually do it. You know, it doesn't hold your hand on this.
This is a remake of a PC game, right?
Yes, it's on PC, and actually, I think they're working on Divinity 2 right now.
They are, I believe. Yeah, I remember when Divinity: Original Sin was released. I do remember that. A lot of people, a lot of people enjoyed it.
I'm drawing a blank, honestly.
If you saw it, you knew. If you saw the logo for it or whatever, you'd know what it was, because I can guarantee you, it has popped up on your Steam page plenty of times.
Probably.
From other people playing it, or from just the amount of accolades it got for a lot of people who were playing it and enjoyed what they were playing.
Was it June of 2014?
Likely, yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's around or something around.
I remember the box art, the cover art for this thing, the man and woman with warriors on thing, and someone got upset about the lady's clothing.
All
right. I remember that much.
That's a thing, you know. It's a thing.
It is.
Anything else you've been playing, Chris?
Well, I've got a few other games to start playing later on, and I've got The Last Guardian, which I haven't even installed it yet. But
I know, I haven't done anything. I've installed mine, and I played just a basically I played the intro section. I haven't played much else, though.
So. Like you, I've got a lot of other games to get to eventually.
I do, and again, this goes back to why I don't feel bad about finishing up Destiny. It doesn't feel like it's sad, like, oh, God, I'm not going to have anything to play. I've got plenty to play.
Yeah.
Like I said,
you've never had that problem.
Yeah, I know. It's more of a relief that I just don't have that thing, you know, casting a shadow over me saying, oh, maybe you can make progress in Destiny. You know, once I hit that point, I'll have made my progress and be done with it. So I say be done with it up until they release new content, that sort of thing. So, Chris, we appreciate you calling back a second time, man.
All right, well, y'all have a good one.
You too.
You too.
Bye.
We got to take a break. We are at that time. So this, I've got to look at my list here. This is from Skullgirls. So yes, it is fighting games.
Mm-hmm.
This time.
Yes. This is called Pedestrian's Crossing. We will be back with more in-game chat right after this. More light jazz for you. Ah, yes. Welcome back to In-Game Chat. Music here from Dark Souls 3, the main theme from that video game. I got about 20 minutes left in the show. I just posted a video into the chat room. Somebody had been asking about the differences between Zelda Breath of the Wild on Wii U and on the Switch. So I'm trying to, since I can't watch the video, I'm trying to read the article here to see if there's at least something written about what the differences are. The game looks crisper on Switch. It has faster loading times due to being stored on a cartridge. It will run in 900p when docked and 720p when in portable mode. Resolution has not been confirmed by Nintendo, but that was just what they had heard from the show floor. As far as the size of the game is concerned, the Switch version is listed at 13.4 gigs, and the Wii U version is 13 gigs.
Hmm.
So, there you go. Both the Switch version and the Wii U version will be released the very same day. So no waiting around, no oddly enough timed exclusivity on a game that's on the same system or same publisher or whatever. Yeah. So I don't know what's coming up. Oh, I remember. It kind of got, you know, I sit there and I go through the news every week and I put stories in, and obviously the dominating piece of news was this Nintendo thing. But earlier this week, the Platinum Games canceled Scalebound.
Yeah. That's true. They did.
And pretty much stopped working with Microsoft altogether, it seems. Yeah. That was a game I don't really remember. I just knew it was Platinum, but I don't really remember much about that game. And I'm opening up the news stories right now.
I think it was I'm trying to remember. It was a big, big epic-looking dragon-fighting thing.
I know that you were... Like that. Yeah, there it is. Yeah. I know that you were disappointed in it.
Oh, just noticed it. I mean, no, but not necessarily disappointed. I'm like, it looked pretty good, and I thought it was kind of close to
it. It was to have been a cooperative action game featuring adventurers and a dragon companion.
Yeah.
Microsoft, like dragon companions.
Yeah, Microsoft pulled the plug on it Monday, giving no reason for doing so.
Yeah.
The game had already been delayed once, originally slated for a holiday 2016 launch. They delayed it into 2017 about a year ago. Three other projects Platinum Game has in the works: Nier Automata, which launches in March, Grand Blue Fantasy Project Link and Lost Order. Oh, no, Project Link, and then Lost Order, which have no launch window yet. I'll work extra hard to never have to let you down like this again, so I hope you will keep watching over us in the future, too. They were Platinum was really kind of shaken about this. They weren't...
Yeah.
They actually felt really, really bad about this.
No, the thing I was mentioning was I thought it was kind of close to completion when it was when that announcement came out. So I'm like, man, goodness, what happened?
Microsoft official statement on the matter: after careful deliberation, Microsoft Studios have come to the decision to end production for Scalebound. Working hard to deliver an amazing lineup of games for our fans this year, including, and of course they do the sales pitch. For more information on our site, that was it. That was all they did. That's all they released. When they talked about it. So yeah, that's canceled. Who we got on the phone?
We got Lee from Wetumpka.
Oh yeah, Lee. Hey Lee.
Hey guys.
How's it going, man?
Definitely enjoying the show today. Actually, I had to go mobile, so I figured I'd call in. And that question just popped in my mind when you were talking about the Zelda game.
Yeah.
How wise is it to have your launch title, your system seller, be a game that's active on your current system?
Well, it's not unheard of.
This happened. Is it not? That was my question.
This happened for the Wii and the GameCube when Twilight Princess released.
Was that a launch title?
Zelda? Twilight Princess? Yeah. That was a launch title.
Okay.
I did not realize that. That's what I was wondering. I thought about that. I said, no, I don't think it was a launch title, so I guess I was wrong.
Well, okay, let me... No, maybe not. I want to say it was. Now you're going to make me look. Now
my plan worked.
Going to make me look it up.
While you're looking at that, what is there, if any, is there any concern with the size of mobile storage? Is there a concern with cartridges, do you think?
I don't know. They're going for cartridges, and that Zelda game is 13 point some odd gigs on a cartridge.
Yeah.
On a memory card looking thing.
Well, you know, you can get those tiny PNY, the Chrome, storage, USBs up to 128 gigs now. So,
yeah.
You know, I wonder if that negates the issue, because that was originally the issue for carts,
dying
with, you know, going to CD-ROMs with much more, capacity, obviously. So.
Yeah, but that was also 20 years ago.
Yeah,
exactly. That's what I'm saying. So I wonder if there's concern for that, or which brings me to the other part is, of course, the price of games is because of the cost of development and size of teams now more than hardware or software restrictions. So,
see, what I'm wondering about the carts is the availability and easiness. Wow, but yes, the. How easy will it be for people to make, like, those fake carts, you know, that just has, like, you know, a whole bunch of games on them, like they do with the
3DS. Well, like they're doing now. You can buy any reproduced video game from any of the Nintendos for past years.
Yeah.
On a cart. I mean,
because the 3DS had, like, that little, like, fake cart that had, like, hundreds of games on it, you know, ROMs and stuff.
Right.
So.
But you probably had to keep that thing away from updating online, otherwise it would, you know.
Brick it.
Well, it wouldn't brick the
know.
System, but
I
it
mean,
would,
but, like, you know, the,
it would
the
stop
functionality.
It from using it. Yeah. Which I think is the same thing, which is why the NES Classic, which I believe Lee has one and I really want one, is that it has no online, it does not phone home for anything.
Yeah.
So you can do whatever with it and they'll never
and
break
they have,
it.
And they have.
We talked about it last week.
Yeah.
60 games, you say, what it's got?
Yeah, they were able to put 60. I think maybe it's gone up to 80 now.
Goodness.
They can put 80 games on it. So yeah. Lee, I looked this up for you and or looked it up for myself, actually. Legend of Zelda Twilight Princess, originally planned for release on the GameCube in November 2005, Twilight Princess was delayed by Nintendo to allow its developers to refine the game, add more content, and port it to the Wii. The Wii version was released alongside the console in North America in November 2006. The GameCube version was also released worldwide in December of 2006. So they weren't released at the same time on the same systems.
Mm-hmm.
It was a launch title for the Wii, released in November, and then people had to wait a few weeks for the December release on the GameCube. Now, they probably did that to incentivize purchases
of the Wii.
Of the Wii. I don't see them doing that here for the Switch and the Wii U. So
and that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
So I'm just out of... I don't care. I'm personal curiosity and stuff. I'm wondering if, because, like, in my opinion, the GameCube version of Twilight Princess was the real version because Link was left-handed in that, whereas in he's always been left-handed.
Okay, so then
he
what
was
is
created
that?
As left-handed, but
so
when
what is that
they
the
mirrored
Wii
it, the Wii version
so
was
what
a mirrored
do you have
version.
Against ambidexterity? That's the real question here.
You know, then they're just weird.
witchcraft.
I'm jealous.
Yeah.
But, no, I mean, Miyamoto said, since Miyamoto himself is left-handed, he designed Link as a left-handed, you know, with the sword. But the Wii version was Mirror World, and so, because most people are right-handed, so they waggle with the right, you know, the right stick, as opposed to waggling with the left, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm curious with the Switch, you know, if you know, is Link going to be left-handed or right-handed?
It'll probably be right-handed, and that's the reason they called it the Switch.
Oh, you just blew my mind.
By the way, a friend of mine dug up from some of the Japanese gaming sites that originally it was going to be called the Wii Twist.
The Wii Twist.
And that
See?
Got killed.
Okay, that makes more sense.
No. I'm not kidding. I really, I'm telling you, there is. I bet it was a very hard push, and I don't know who the push came from. If it was Nintendo of America or Nintendo of Japan. There was a hard push from somebody or a group of some people saying, look, guys, drop this Wii thing, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Drop it, because I have every thought, every whatever thought in my mind says that they were going to call this Wii something. And Wii Twist, sure. Wii Switch, sure, whatever. But
you know, my buddy Craig, he's a huge, I mean, he stays on top of all this stuff. He's a programmer and developer and all this stuff in New Orleans. And he said that that was one of the rumored names, which... You know, that I guess you could say, hey, it's a Wii Twist with a new twist on mobile gaming or something. That's, you know, probably where they were headed.
But. Well, it's the same reason they've kept DS with everything that they've used for the handhelds.
Oh, yeah.
3DS,
right.
XL,
screens.
2DS.
All right, guys. I'm going to give your show back to you guys.
Okay.
Thanks so much.
Yeah.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's the same reason they're doing that. They wanted to kind of brand it that the DS is our
brand.
It
has a name already.
Yeah.
It
and
has
so we're going to keep the Wii, and we're just going to make a family of Wii consoles, the Wii, the Wii U, the Wii Twist.
They did that back with the GameCube. You know, GameCube Advance, SP, Micro.
GameCube Advance?
Game Boy. Game Boy, sorry.
Yeah. Game Boy.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And so I have everything to believe that they were not going to break away from that Wii name until somebody said, look, this did horribly for the Wii U. We need to distance ourselves from the Wii thing. We're just going to confuse people more by doing this because it already looks like the controller from the Wii U.
Yeah.
So let's just, let's switch it up. exactly.
I saw that coming.
I know, dude, I know. They used it so much during that Japan press conference. Now I'm going to switch it over to this guy. They did that every time, and then they would do the snap.
Really?
Yeah.
No, they so totally did a snap. There's apparently a...
It has that little animation for the
icon. Yeah, when
the
thing
it clicks
into the thing, and it clicks in, they do a snap. I'm not
and
kidding.
it bothers me that the logo for the Switch is off-centered. It's not it's asymmetrical, and that my OCD kicks in for that and just annoys me.
Ugh. So those were the cringe moments you were talking about earlier in the show.
Yeah, it wasn't really. Honestly, I've seen worse from Microsoft and Sony more than I have Nintendo. I've seen bad from Nintendo too. Some of their press conferences were.
Oh yeah.
Ever since they've switched to doing this Treehouse presentation stuff and whatever this sort of format to where it's not audience or anything like that, they've gotten a lot better with it, with what they show off. But you know, it's still a company trying to appeal to investors and things like that, and trying to sell a product. And every time we see it, it's just one of those situations where go watch the 1-2 Switch commercial. I say commercial, but go watch the trailer, the ad, whatever, for the 1-2 Switch game. And these are not, they're not putting ordinary people playing these games. The first one, the first thing they show are two people doing a draw with the guns type thing. And they're all dressed in outfits. I was like, nobody does this.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody does this. Nobody goes and gets dressed up and plays this like that.
No.
Especially not looking like that. So, oh, look, Lethal Migraines joined the chat room.
Hello.
I haven't seen Lethal in a long time.
Yeah.
Been a couple of weeks anyway. Been since last year. So, yeah, I don't know. Trying to think of what else I'm going to... What about Destiny and then... I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Still playing The Witness. The Witness still is nice to just kind of jump into. Huh. I need to play Inside. I've got that. I need to play Inside.
Okay.
The people that did Limbo.
Oh, yeah.
I know. I need to play that. And I haven't been spoilered on anything really so far for Last Guardian or for The Inside or Witness or anything like that. Witness, I'm getting closer and closer to trying to find some solutions to these things. I don't ever like to look those up, but logic is failing me in some of these puzzles. I've looked it over and I was like, how is this not working? I don't know why this isn't working. So,
did you pick up Day of the Tentacle on the PS Plus?
If it was free, I probably did.
Okay.
Wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think
that's this month.
Is it this month? I don't know if I picked up this month's games.
Okay.
I'll have to go check. But yeah, I'll definitely grab it when I do.
Are you gonna play Resident Evil 7?
The question
is, are they subtitling it Biohazard?
I meant to bring you the VR set, and I totally forgot to do that, RJ.
What about me?
To bring you the huh?
What about me?
Well, I don't have two of them. I only got one. And I was gonna give it to him first.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I'm gonna play it in VR.
You are gonna play it.
I do intend to get scared and play it, yes.
Okay.
I intend to play it looking completely at the ground with the sound off, with nothing but yakety sax in the background.
And the lights on?
Yeah. And the lights, everything on, daytime. Don't play it after 6.
And puppies, surrounded by puppies.
Yeah, really. Just do that whole thing.
Because when I played that demo, it was enough where I just stood there. I'm like, I don't want to move forward at all. You know, when I pushed the controller forward a little bit, I'm like, nope, I just want to stand here.
Yeah. By the way, Scott, you're right. Nobody does this.
Nobody does what?
You watched the 1-2 Switch trailer.
Like, I get that no. They're trying to market the game, but it's just, yeah. That's just not how it works.
No.
That's not how it works.
Hey, let's all get together, cosplay, and play
now,
Switch.
That wasn't cringeworthy in the sense, because it wasn't happening on stage between live people up on stage or whatever. This was a produced piece of film and stuff, but...
Yeah, with the longest drawn-out gunfight ever.
Oh, that thing! Oh, yeah. Good Lord, that was ridiculous. Watching that, I was just like, get on with it.
That was a heck of, yeah, that, I'm about that way... to say, it was a heck of a lot longer than it should have been. Like, maybe... 20 seconds at best. That thing ran for
a good while.
It did.
I felt that way about the whole Reggie segment, you know, when they're trying to like, oh, what about Zelda? And he's like, I don't know. Let's ask Miyamoto. And, you know, I was like, oh, I don't know. Let's ask. You know, I mean, like, just, oh my goodness.
That thing ran for a minute and a half, and it took a minute 12 for anything to happen.
Yeah. And then they sent it back to the other guy to answer, and then he said, I'll get to that question later, and then showed off more. I mean, I knew they were going to answer it and tell us when it was going to release.
Yeah, but I mean, they could have skipped that whole video segment. I mean, just for a way to throw in Miyamoto and I forget the other one.
I don't remember his name either. But yeah, I know who you're talking about.
So. Yeah, the producer. But I mean, they could have used them better to introduce it as opposed to what they did.
Oh, agreed. I agree. I'm just trying to kill more time.
Yeah.
Here we go. Because we're about to run out of time.
Anything on the books for, you know, like, all right, and, you know, once Destiny, you really need to get into Hitman.
I played like two levels of that thing.
Yeah.
Which is not, honestly, when somebody says they played two levels of Hitman, that doesn't mean anything.
No.
That means they've just killed the target, which then you say, well, how many ways did you do it?
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, I've got...
It is so replayable.
I've got so many ways to do that thing, so...
Yeah, after going back to, like, you know, killing the target, now, like, I started doing the escalation missions
mm-hmm.
and everything, like, then it's different targets, and it's different, you know, requirements upon the, you know, each time you go through and you play it, it, you know, escalates a little bit more.
You know,
so.
I've still got to do Mankind, so much fun. Deus Ex.
Oh, yeah.
Do that.
Mad Max.
Games that people got me over Christmas. I've got games I picked up during the Steam sale that I can't even remember what it was that I grabbed. So I've got plenty of stuff to play.
Someone gave me something on Steam.
Huh?
Someone gave me something on Steam.
Really?
Yeah. You got to notice. I don't recall what the game was.
Scott?
No, it wasn't me.
No.
He didn't have a wish list.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah, that's right.
So I gave him a gift card.
So someone gave me something. And I don't have a wish list. So I don't know.
I gave you a gift card to spend on buying this new PC that you're working on.
Yeah.
So.
I'm narrowing it down for what to use it towards now.
I'll just use it to knock $25 off the price of whatever you're
picking
up.
I put in there, yeah.
Yeah.
How is the PC build going?
A little slower now because I got some bills come in that take high priority over this computer thing now.
Yeah, adulting, right?
Yep. But I think I'm looking into the hard drives one and everything. I missed that Western Digital sale we were talking about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
The 5 terabit hard drives.
I had to miss it.
Mm-hmm. I had to miss it because of tires.
Tires.
So yeah. So I'm gonna wait for another sale to come up. Keep looking around for that. But after the hard drives, processors. Yeah. So I'm looking at after that. So yeah.
All right, everybody, thanks for joining us in the chat room, as well as everybody listening on the stream and on the radio. We do appreciate it. Thanks to everybody who grabs us each week from iTunes or however you get our show for later use. I want to thank our callers, Lee, today, and Chris as well.
Yes.
We really appreciate everybody who listens and participates in this show. Head over to InGameChat.net. You can join us on Twitter, Facebook, our forums at ColonyOfGamers.com. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. You're watching us on Twitch. Why not subscribe there? If you're on Steam, join our Steam group. And you can play games with us and other listeners. We've got a community on PS4, and we've got a group on Xbox One as well. So thanks, everybody, for joining us this week. Have a fantastic week, and we will see you next Saturday. We go out with music from Legend of Zelda.